Hi, this is Bill Arnold. Missed a show or need me talking to help you sleep tonight? I have several solutions to that situation. Here are the podcasts from the show. You are the best for listening and supporting Faith Radio. And a warm welcome to Afternoons with Bill Arnold. Thank you for joining me. I sure had fun with Guy Talk, and now Roundtable Thursday is up for round number two, which is the amazing and beautiful Queens of the Roundtable. And I am delighted to have Rebecca Maxwell in the studio, who's my producer, who is awesome.
Hi, Bill. Thank you.
And then Rosie, and then Lee Wolf Bloom. So that's the team today. I'm excited, and I need to, because Lee, you've been on a show before, more than once of mine, I would like you to just let our listeners again know what your specialty is. And
I'm not sure.
Yeah,
which
makes you a perfect guest.
You can twirl.
We just found out you can twirl.
I can twirl the baton.
Both are baton twirlers.
Yes.
Aren't you?
Yes. I'm a mental health practitioner here in the Twin Cities.
Okay.
I work in the field of eating disorders and chemical dependency, and I also have written a couple books.
Yes, you have.
And do some speaking and writing and coaching, and and then in my spare time, I take care of my three teenage wild boys.
Yeah. Now, when you observe someone eating, because you specialize in eating addictions, can you tell if someone is eating or self-medicating?
Yes.
Okay. How do you do that?
Well, that's a complicated question.
I know.
The short answer is... we eat as an intuitive thing. God made our bodies, and we intuitively eat to satisfy hunger.
Mm-hmm.
When it's not being satisfied, when it's not a hunger thing, you can usually kind of tell. Kind of like when somebody's drinking.
Yeah. Is it food choices and quantity? Is that what you see? Or is it the way in which they eat?
Both. Well, a little bit of both.
Yeah.
I mean, I've worked in the field for 13 years, so probably my eye has kind of been trained probably towards that. But I would never walk up to somebody who's eating and say, hey, you're not eating because you're hungry, because we all we all do that.
Oh, good. The lunch invitation is back on the table.
Yeah, exactly.
I was going to say, I don't know if I want to have appetizers with her after this. Because
that's such an odd question, but it's a good one.
Question. It's a great question.
Well, sometimes I see people eating, men or women, and I don't think that they're eating to make their bodies healthier or to give their body nutrition. I think they're eating to be medicating.
Or to numb out.
To numb out,
right. And it's just the same when you see somebody drinking to numb out. You can usually kind of sense, oh, this is tipped a little bit past what's just having a drink.
Mm-hmm. But alcohol or drugs, if you use those to medicate, they numb the bad feelings, but most oftentimes they numb the good feelings too. It's almost like chemo where they just kill every cell.
Exactly.
So you start to lose the ability to enjoy normal things, and you've lost your sense of wonder and
joy.
Yeah, now that happens to not the same degree with food, right?
No, it does happen to the same degree. I think when you get to the point, where you're so numbed out, it's a form of dissociation. So you're dissociating.
There's that word again. That's a big word.
And you're numbed out. So the part I love so much about my job, I do say this sometimes to patients. It's kind of like watching a chia pet grow, but most of the patients don't even nowadays know what a chia pet is. But it's bigger than a chia pet, right? Is I get to see people who are very depressed or despondent and start to come to life again, and you start to see them become the people who God made them to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the joy of the work I get to do.
Yeah. All right, let me set the table for the amazing and beautiful Queens of the Roundtable. If you have questions for us, let us know. 877-933-2484. We'll deal with any question you like. All right, we'll take a short break and be right back.
So, Mom, I think it's cool how you give up something, spending more time with God, and wanting to be more like Him. I want to do that, too. So as Easter gets closer this year, I'm giving up vegetables, and I expect you to hold me to it.
Well, it's a step. Welcome to Faith Radio. You don't have to understand everything to have a place here. No matter where you are in your faith journey, even if this is step one, there's something for you. Because it's not about arriving, it's about growing. Faith Radio.
Staying on the right path in our faith journey and being aware of God's presence in the moment can be a challenge,
especially on a Monday morning.
Faith Radio wants to encourage and equip you to abide in Christ, draw closer to God, and build a strong foundation for your faith. So we're inviting you to sign up for the weekly prayer devotional email. It's delivered to your inbox each Monday morning with a quote to reflect on and a prayer to begin the week. Sign up today at myfaithradio.com/prayer.
Welcome back to Roundtable Thursday. Part one was Guy Talk, and now we've got the beautiful and amazing Queens of the Roundtable. We have Rebecca, we have Rosie, and we have Lee. So that's the team, and we're going to deal with all kinds of topics. Any questions or issues you'd like us to discuss, send me a text, 877-933-2484. We want it to be, any question, but it's going to be coming from a woman's perspective and a woman's angle, which is exactly what this hour is all about. Now, you two are baton twirlers
other
lives.
Rosie and Lee.
Rosie and Lee.
We're both authors. We're both raising boys. Yes. So we didn't even know this about each other.
This is so weird.
We're both friends already.
I know.
It's so exciting.
That's
this is
really
what
cool.
Women do, though.
I know. Very quickly.
So
very
you guys
quickly.
Keep talking. I'm going to check to see how the twins are doing. Okay. Because you guys got lots of stuff to cover, don't you?
We do. I love the fact that you just said you're raising three wild boys. And the way you said wild was with such playfulness and fun, because, you know, when I had my two children, there were so many people that wanted to speak into my life about, oh, they're great, but when they're teenagers, watch out. And I would inside my head say, I'm not going to receive that. I don't receive that
because
I personally think that they don't have to be that way. And for my husband and I, our boys have been wild and fun. And my youngest son was just walking through and touring the station just to stop by and say hi to mom, and he's 18, and he gave me a big hug in front of all my coworkers. And I'm thinking, you know, the world says that's not possible, and it is possible.
I've got an 18-year-old at home as well.
Yeah.
And you know what? He's going out of state for college, and I said to him, at what point did you think it was okay to go out of state for college? He's like, Mom, you taught us to be adventurous. I'm like, well, that was a mistake. The rest of you are staying home.
I have a girlfriend who says...
We're going to nip that in the bud.
Yeah,
right?
You're done. Oops.
Big mistake.
I have a girlfriend who wants to write a book on how to make your children codependent.
Oh, I'm going to do that.
I start laughing. I go, have both of yours flown the nest? And they're like way established. She goes, yes, and it's horrible.
I know. It is.
They should need me more.
All right.
It is.
So I want to start talking about the drive for perfection. What crazy talk? This is crazy talk. Because nobody's perfect, and I hate when people say that, use that ever. Well, I'm not perfect. I hate that expression, because of course you're not.
Right.
Is that just a cliche or a cop-out, or is that the ultimate defense mechanism when people say that? Well, I'm not perfect.
I think there's unspoken expectation across. There's just like we have nonverbal communication. I think there's unspoken expectation, especially in America, to be your best, to do your best. And so when we're not our best, we're feeling like we're less. But Rebecca and I want to coin this phrase because I want to make a t-shirt out of it. A 93% is still an A, but yet we feel like we have to be 100% all the time. Impossible.
Where's that come from?
I don't know. Expectations? I don't know. I mean, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think there's a lot of things that play into it. I mean, part of why I wrote my first book was to explore my own struggle with an eating disorder. But what I found...
And the name of that book is?
Table in the Darkness.
Okay.
And what I found in writing it was this wasn't a story about an eating disorder. This was a story about never feeling good enough. And that story hasn't ended. I still very often don't feel good enough.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Where does that come from? It comes from a society... So we can't say it's coming from social media because I didn't feel good enough when I was 5, right? So, but we can say it's gotten worse because the suicide rate in the last 30 years for women is higher than it's ever been, right? We look at the suicides recently that have happened, and sorry to take this down, but this is a reality. The suicides that have happened in the last couple of weeks, why are people more depressed? Why are we... why is this happening? Well, I think a lot of reason why it's happening, we live in this day and age where you see everyone's highlight reel, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're only seeing the highlight reel. and you're comparing your behind the scenes to their highlight reel, and it's not truth. And when you just sit down with somebody and you say, tell me about your life, like if Rosie and I, if I would say, like, Rosie's like this beautiful woman, I already get the sense she's got this fantastic job. I'm like, oh, she's probably just a rock star, right?
You forgot to tell everybody I'm really cute.
And she's really, right?
You said you're beautiful.
That's right.
And she's got great hair.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Okay, yeah. And so I'm sitting over here going, she's pretty amazing, right? But if I sat with Rosie and I said, you know what? Help me understand your life. Tell me about what your struggles are. Tell me about your pains and your hurts. I would get to know the real person. I would have more compassion and love for her. And all that, like, me needing to compare with her would go away. Mm-hmm. And when you look at what Jesus did, that's exactly what he did. He sat down with people and he said, just tell me about you. The woman at the well, tell me about your life, right? Tell me about your husband's.
Don't you think, too, the liar has been speaking into us all the time? Jesus says we're saved by grace. Jesus says we're beautiful. Jesus says you are my princess of my kingdom. That's what he says. And all through my growing up, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. But at some point, we must have bought into the lie that Jesus might love us, but I still need the love of mom and dad and neighbors and friends, and they're doing these things and the comparisons start. And so, you know, organically go down to the root and say, when do we actually believe that we're perfectly built, that we're lovely just the way we are, and that God designed us this way for whatever, you know, red hair, brown hair, blonde hair, you know, short, tall, what, all of our different beautiful qualities, and that they are essential to him, and he thought these were worthy. At some point, we stop believing that.
Yeah.
We're going to take a little break. You are listening to the amazing and beautiful Queens of the Roundtable. If you have a question for us, let us know, 877-933-2484. That's the text number. Again, 877-933-2484. Lots coming up. Be back. I'm always glad when Thursday rolls around because it's Roundtable Thursday today. We had Guy Talk from 3 to 4, and now the amazing and beautiful Queens of the Roundtable are in studio. We've got Rebecca, and we've got Rosie and Lee, and we're chatting about a little bit about anything and everything. So if you have a issue or concern or something you'd like us to discuss, 877-933-2484. We are talking about perfection right now, and if you struggle with perfection, how do you handle criticism?
So I'd like to kind of go back to where we left off with Rosie's comment.
No, that train is going on. I'm the host of the show.
Are we the queens?
That's true. We decree it so.
Well, this goes along with what you're saying.
Okay.
But I think Rosie brought up a good point in that going to the root. And what I've found in my own journey, and my hope is all women can find this, is that when you really get to the root, right? When we really get to the root, who did God make me to be? Let me celebrate that in a way that's not prideful and, you know, boastful, but let me celebrate that. That allows me then to let other women be who they're meant to be, right? Mm-hmm. So I know I'm not good at math. God did not make me good at math. It's pretty clear. So then I can let somebody else who's really good at math be good at math. And that's just a very benign example. But I think when we go to really knowing who God made us to be and knowing where our giftedness is and then knowing where kind of our fault lines are, then we can walk alongside other women and let them be who they're meant to be instead of being jealous or criticizing them or gossiping about them. So for criticism, just to that question, is that what you said?
Mm-hmm.
Unless Rosie had something I saw.
Well, it's just to me, it's still... When you accept who the Lord has made you to be, it's actually taking it, for me, just a step further, that I trust him.
Mm-hmm.
I trust him to be my God, and that this exercise that he would love us to walk through, that we all need to walk through, male or female, is contentment. Yeah. That I am content because I trust him, and I'm fabulous, not because of what everybody else says about me, but because my Lord made me this way, and then I have felt that I can be just me and not make excuses for being too much,
right,
or feeling bad for being too little.
Right. And that's how my life was growing up. You're too much. You're too much. You're such a spaz. Mm-hmm. Well, now I know I'm a spaz. And I have totally embraced that because God made me with a lot of energy. Now, I know when to tamper it down, right? Mm-hmm. But I love that you're like, I'm fabulous, right?
Well, but I've had to learn that too, though. Right. I mean, I really had to come to a point of accepting who God's made me to be and not making excuses for being fabulous,
right?
Because there's plenty of places where I'm not, but I get to enjoy where I am. And frankly, there's responsibility with that. I know he built me with a personality that people find warm. And so when I walk into a room, I find the people who are not as comfortable. And I know that he would love me to go and say hi to them because it's one gift meeting another.
Absolutely.
And so it's so funny because I really do enjoy a variety of different personality types, mm-hmm. and we do celebrate them.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just beautiful.
I think we've become, sometimes we become this culture that you have to be, I think that's where perfectionism comes in. And I think it happens a lot in the Christian culture. You're supposed to be this type of Christian, mm-hmm. right? Instead of celebrating you look at what God made, all the animals and all the different things. Like, he's a creative God. I think the other piece, though, that I was good about what you were saying, Rosie, was how important it is that the audience here listening doesn't confuse what we're saying is like, we both are just like, yep, life's great, right? Because the other piece to this is we're all still in process, mm-hmm. right? Every day I get up is, you know, my mercies are new every morning, is a new day to learn new things, that God's pruning the old away. And so in mental health, we talk about the dialectic, which is both and. So I like the idea of, yeah, I am content in who God made me to be, and every day I'm growing and changing more and learning into who God. So both are true.
Mm-hmm.
And do I ever doubt myself? Do I ever feel insecure? Absolutely, yeah. And then it's a returning back mm-hmm. to God, who he says I am, trusting in that.
Yeah. One additional note, I think that's so important, is what we choose to listen to. Mm-hmm. And we've talked in the past, I know, about, I'm speaking to Rosie, because we talk across the office all the time, but also on
everybody
our
Everybody wants
our
to work tables. With us.
I like to think so.
Do we work, though?
We totally work.
We do. We work very efficiently, because we have to leave room for talking.
Exactly. And I think that's where productivity comes from, motivation.
Yes.
But it matters so much, the voices that you choose to listen to. Because I know I can identify that my struggle with wanting to be perfect and just always raising the standard all the time came from an expectation from my parents that were vocalized. If I did something and it was 93%, specifically one parent would find the 7% that wasn't good enough.
And
I think that's the attempt and the heart was, okay, strive for excellence. But that can be internalized as to say, all right, the thing I'm going to see is not all the great stuff or the things that went really well, the accomplishments. You get trained to see the negative and what's not good enough. And you start believing you are your performance. You are what is negative. You are what is not good enough. And until you reach that mark, you are not good enough. And if you continue to listen to those negative voices all the time, it's easy to internalize. And you start believing those lies, which you're right, comes from the enemy ultimately, because it takes away from what God says about who you are and who you were meant to be in Christ. And I think, though, just striving not to be negative isn't enough. You need the encouragement. And I don't know if we're particularly good in this day and age about encouraging one another. I think we compare a lot. Mm-hmm. And I think that can cause maybe like a humble brag situation in the Christian community where we think, oh, I'm so blessed and I've got all these great things. Like you said, Lee, we're talking about the highlight reel and the things we're proud to post pictures of and the Pinterest-worthy dinners and crafts and all that. But are we great about reaching out for encouragement and saying, this is what is not working, or trusting another sister, maybe just a more personal thing, to say, I need some encouragement on this, or reaching out unasked and saying, hey, I want to encourage the great things that I see in you, because that can help combat the lies that get, bombard us on a daily basis that I think we can find all too easy a perch in our hearts.
Mm-hmm. Preach it, sister.
You know, is Bill still in the room?
Yeah, really.
Are you still here, Bill?
He's there somewhere.
I just came back from getting coffee. What did I miss?
So you bring up a couple of great things, and one is everyone wants to be perfect, but no one wants to be around perfect. Right?
It's so irritating.
It's irritating.
It's irritating.
When somebody is so perfect, you're like, you start to really start to feel less about yourself, which is just kind of what we do as women. But I think what you described too with your parents is something that we all fall in the trap of focusing so much on being excellent and focusing so much on success that then we don't share with people our struggles. Mm-hmm. I just heard Annie Downs actually here yeah. speaking, and she was
set apart.
Yeah, she was fantastic, and she was talking about if we don't share that we're in the fire, how can people celebrate us walking out of the fire? Right? Like, so when we're in the fire, sometimes as Christians, I think most, like, we get afraid to say, I'm struggling with this or I'm struggling with that. And that's where I think we get trapped, when Satan is like, oh, yeah, here, I gotcha. You know, you're not going to bring this to the light. So I think the more what you said is reaching out and saying, yeah, I'm struggling. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. You can be a Christian and still struggle with things. It's
right.
It's actually very normal. So that's what I was thinking.
I love what you were thinking.
It's a great thought.
It is.
It really is a great
whatever
thought.
Whatever that thought was.
Yeah. All right. We've got only a couple minutes left before we go to break. So I'm going to cue this one up because this seems to dovetail into this, what you just mentioned, Lee. I mean, can you share a time when you suffered pain or maybe even some agony and out of it came this amazing blessing?
Yes.
That's your story, basically.
Right. Yeah. Wait, are we going on a break?
Well, we are going to pretty soon, in 2 minutes.
I'll just cue that up with I attempted suicide 23 years ago when I was 23 and should have died.
Okay.
And ended up in the ICU of the hospital. And now wait until after break to find out if I lived.
The suspense is killing me.
It is.
We call that in radio a cliffhanger, which means you should want to be back with us after break to find out if Lee made it or not. So if you have a question or, you know, maybe you've got some struggle with your own identity, you've got perfection issues, you've had criticism that has wounded you deeply and you want to bring it to the discussion, please send us a call or text. We've got Rachel in the phone room.
We do, yes.
Awesome. She just gave me a big thumbs up. So you can call and join in with the amazing and beautiful Queens of the Roundtable. And you can ask the question or you can send me a text and I'll ask it on your behalf. You can, of course, remain anonymous if you like. So let me give you the number two more times. 877-933-2484. Again, 877-933-2484. We'll be back in just a couple minutes.
Thank you for listening to the Faith Radio Network, your home for relevant Bible preaching, family-focused teaching, and interactive talk shows and topics relating to your everyday life. We exist to lead people to Christ and to nurture believers in their faith through Christ-centered media. We hope that you've been encouraged as you've listened and that you've found helpful resources through interviews, articles on our website, and more. To learn more, visit myfaithradio.com. That's myfaithradio.com.
Welcome back to the show. It's 31 minutes after the hour on this awfully nice sunny day here in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area. Baseball season opens today, which I'm excited about because I love baseball. But now I want to shift my attention back to the beautiful and amazing Queens of the Roundtable, which is Thursday Roundtable activity. I've got Rebecca and Rosie and Lee in studio. We're talking a little bit about perfectionism and criticism, which I find fascinating. But before we went to break, I was going to ask, I threw the question out, name a time that you have suffered pain and maybe agony and how it came out as an amazing blessing. And Lee said, well, 23 years ago, I tried to commit suicide. So what came out of that, Lee?
Well, it's 23 years exactly this year.
Okay.
So 23 years of living in recovery.
Okay.
Three fantastic boys, 23 years of marriage, you know, which hasn't been easy, but you know, wonderful. What came out of it is really a whole new person. I think I had this realization. Well, I didn't think. I know I had this realization when I was in the intensive care unit of this hospital. God was really asking me, are you going to continue to live this life that people are telling you to live, or are you going to live the life that I have for you? Are you going to go on this adventurous bike ride with me? Are you going to step out and be the person I created you to be? Or are you going to just keep doing what you're doing, which what I was doing was conforming and trying to mold myself into somebody I wasn't. And that brought great freedom, a lot of struggle, but great, great freedom.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about dark times is if we sit through them and if we tolerate our distress through them, on the other side is, you know, great, great growth. And so as awful as that was, my deep depression, suicidality, and the things that happened during that time, also God, of course, brought it into great growth in my life. And it's why I can do the work that I do. And I believe I'm a totally different person than I was before that mm-hmm. happened. Not that that was something that I think God ever wanted to happen, but he did bring great beauty out of it for
mm-hmm.
sure.
Mm-hmm.
Genesis 50:20, my favorite verse. What evil is intended for evil, I promise I will make unto good.
Yes.
And that's paraphrased. That's not, no one looked that up.
When I think
exactly.
That, I think the same is true.
Totally. Because remember, 93% is still an A.
93% right? is still an A.
So, yeah.
We get what he meant.
Yes.
Yeah. But it's true. And when we think about all, you know, the lies and stuff that Satan was giving me, or my family was giving me, you're not good enough, you're too much, or the world's giving me. And then God's bringing it out as like, no, you know what? You're enough. And I'm going to make good out of your struggle of not feeling good enoughness, which is so fun.
It is so fun. Bill, when you said that question, my first thought was, let me go through my file folder of all the different situations in my life, because there's so many different seasons. Mm-hmm. I'm 54 years old. There's so many different seasons. And I think on this side of 50, what is clear to me and was clear during many cases is that each hard, difficult time gave me a new beauty. Empathy when my mom was going through all her addiction trials, when my husband was, you know, diagnosed with cancer, fortitude and strength of the word. I mean, there's so many beautiful things that come out of difficulty. And I think the longer that you go through trial after trial, the more you realize that this season too will come to an end. And I'm getting an upgrade somehow or another.
Yes.
I'm getting an upgrade, and I don't know what it's going to look like, but I trust my Lord. It's so much goes back to trust in absolutely everything. Do we really trust who God says he is and who he says we are?
Right.
And that takes some, you have to kind of go through some trials to realize that, yeah, I can trust him.
And I just got this image of like, let's pretend we're in a movie, right? Mm-hmm. And we're watching you go through what you went through.
Mm-hmm.
We'd say, and you'd be like, oh, I want to give up, right? My husband has cancer, whatever. We'd watch you and be like, no, keep going. There's something good on the other side of this. Because we know there has to be. If God's writing the story, right? Which he mm-hmm. is. He's bringing the good out. And so I tell this to patients a lot of, you know, walking through the dark isn't the hard part. It's that if you leave the dark and turn the light back on, right? And what I mean by that is, if you run away from it, if you start coping with drugs or alcohol or eating or something, and you run away from that dark trial or that dark time, but if you sit through it, right, just like when you're sitting in the dark, you eventually are able to see.
Mm-hmm.
So Barbara Brown Taylor wrote this book called Learning to Walk in the Dark, and she said all good things, or not all good things, that's not what she said. She said something, great things are born sometimes out of the dark. Jesus in the tomb, Jesus in the womb. And trees in the ground are grown in the dark. So I think so often we think, oh, I'm having a dark time, or I'm having a rough time. I got to run from it. Or we use scripture and like pour it on each other and say, you just need to believe, or you just need this. And instead, just like sitting through it and tolerating your distress and having your emotions, feeling the pain, and just all of us on the other side cheering you on and going, God's going to bring good out of this. And yeah, like what you said, you're getting an upgrade.
Getting an upgrade.
A listener jumped in with, Jesus said, deny yourself and follow him. He didn't sit around and compare himself to anyone else. And This listener is saying, I'm tired of being compared to other people. Even God doesn't compare us to each other, so we better not.
That's good.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That person has an upgrade.
Got an upgrade.
Got an upgrade. They've gotten there.
That's true.
And I think we, you know, back to the dark thing, I hope that made sense. Mm-hmm. I think we just need to be not afraid. You know, Jesus says, don't be afraid of walking through those times, of being able to say, you know what, he's going to bring good out of this. You know, and right now it's hard, and the dialectic, we can get through this.
It's the megaphone, right? Pain is the megaphone. What's the C.S. Lewis quote that God whispers in our pleasures but shouts in our pains?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what has to be attended to, mm-hmm. that it forces everything else that is less important out of the way, and it keens your focus onto what really matters.
Right.
Anything else, you know, can't be bothered with that right now. We need to focus on what's going on. But then there is that struggle with the extremes, like, do I focus so much on my pain and my suffering, or do I focus on what God is working in me through this? And I think as long as it is drawing us into closer relationship with him, and whatever it is that we're thinking and we're scared of and we're going through, you have to go to him with it,
mm-hmm.
instead of running away from it and allowing that pain to place a wedge. It should be an open door, I mm-hmm. hope. And I've gone through some painful experiences, and I know that I've learned from it, but I know it wasn't always easy, because
right.
sometimes I use that pain almost as an excuse or as too much of a self-focus to hurt, and I wallowed in that hurt for a
right.
little while, and I didn't know what to do on the other side of it or how to get through it. But what maybe the biggest thing I've learned from that is to not run from God in that, but to run to him
mm-hmm.
in the midst of it, and that he is drawing us in toward himself, that everything that he allows to happen to us, through us, and around us is always to draw us closer and closer to him. And that helps me trust when it doesn't seem like the circumstances would be what I would consider good.
Right.
I know that he is allowing this. I don't know all the details, but he's allowing it to draw me closer to him.
I was just thinking when you were saying that, Rebecca, of Moses and Aaron, and Moses praying, and Aaron had to come and prop up his arms to get through that season. And to our point back in the beginning with you, Lee, about we have to be able to be transparent in those trials,
mm-hmm.
though, because as we're, you know, holding on to the hem of Jesus's garment, we do need our friends to bring us water. We do need refreshment, because those seasons can be very difficult, and they can be longer than anything we've ever imagined that we could persevere through. And so we need our girlfriends. We need our spouses. We need our siblings. We need our parents to know what we're going through. And that's the transparency of loving in community.
Yeah.
Right?
And just to help us laugh at ourselves.
Oh, yeah. And we need laughter, a lot of it.
Bring over a favorite movie, and we can make popcorn and just laugh and cry, and
exactly.
it'll be a great time.
Exactly.
So, ladies, how do you draw the line between teaching your children to do good work? I mean, you want to instill the idea that they're excellent, do excellent work, and not to be lazy, and then perfectionism. So you're not putting this pressure on them to be perfect.
Wow. I think that there's so much there, because I don't think you can approach any child the same, because they all respond differently to stimulus. They respond, some are words of affirmation is their love language, some is acts of service, and on and on. So I think you have to be careful. I think we do that often, where we lump everybody together. And so what I would do for my oldest son, Bennett, was very different than what I would do for my younger son, Alec, because they beat to a different drum beat, you know, and one... You know, for me, it was more, I loved the core. My husband and I both loved the core of who they are, and reminded them of who they are, and let them own their own grades. I don't think we ever gave money for grade achievement. We never even talk about grades. Like, I rarely ever talk about grades, and yet they're both very good students. Mm-hmm. And someone would say, how'd you do that? And I go, I didn't. That's the whole point. Because I never looked at their score and said, oh, you only got a 93, you know. So to me, it was just... loving their core, and reminding them too that they've been given gifts by God, and God has every intention. If he gave you the gift, he has a job for it. And so to fine tune that gift, if you're curious, to be curious, to look up things on the internet that stimulate your brain, do your science projects, you know, walk in the field without your socks because you love that. Whatever it is, do it to the best of your ability, because God wants to celebrate that with you, not for my approval or my husband's or anything else. So I don't know.
I really don't have an answer to this question. I think you'd have to have my boys on and ask them, because really for me, you know, as I mentioned, you know, I had a difficult growing up and the parenting wasn't always there. So I had never even wanted to have kids. And by the grace of God, I have am blessed with these amazing, amazing young men. I think we, my husband and I, have just parented really the next right step and tried to just be human in terms of apologizing, in terms when we do wrong, in terms of just being human and also loving the Lord and showing them that. So I think perfectionism in terms of parenting, I think we do live in a culture that is like that. And I just don't participate in it. I want my kids to have fun, and I want them to be adventurous, and I want them to work hard, and I want them to be who God made them to be. But that's all I really have, because I guess you just have to ask my boys.
Yeah. I think that's great.
Can do that. We can make that happen.
Oh, yeah. I know. I'm worried
all of a
they're
sudden,
listening.
I got a little scared, though.
Me
I'm like,
too.
Oh,
we
I
have
don't
ways.
Know. You guys might hear things that nobody should hear.
I know.
A subject that comes up regularly on Guy Talk and on this talk is focusing on the difficulties of marriage, staying married when it's hard and uncomfortable. And, you know, divorce is allowed for adultery and abandonment. And there's too much being spoken about moving on from divorce. It certainly is. You've never heard it from me. I never say move on ever. I don't think I've ever had a guest that said move on. I don't know. I don't remember one. You, Rebecca?
We say a lot of things, but no, usually not. I mean, we greatly value marriage. Highly value marriage.
So I don't know if this listener is hearing it from the world or from the show, because I don't ever say that. But what about stop looking and acting like the world? Like if things aren't moving well in your marriage, move on.
Well, here's what I would say. And somebody told me this quote a long time ago, and I don't know if it's actually a real quote, but I use it all the time.
It is now.
Okay, it is now. I don't know. You get 80% of what you need in a marriage. And sometimes people use, they are looking for the other 40%. Wait, I just did math.
Yeah.
Is that right?
There you go.
Did I do it right?
Way off. You're way off.
93% is
it's
still 40,
it's 45%.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're out there looking for the other 40%. And what usually happens when somebody leaves a marriage and goes into a second marriage, and I'm not saying, you know, if it's an abusive situation or, you know, something like that, then that's a different story.
Yeah.
But we often are like, oh, it's going to be better. But actually, you're looking for the 40%. There's something really quite beautiful about, we've been married 23 years, and I'll tell you what, it has not been, well, it's not been an easy ride, because you're human beings, right? But you learn and you grow and you change. And my husband and I, and I hope he's okay with me saying this, we are not beyond going to marriage counseling. We've been multiple times. We see a great Christian counselor who just really calls us out on our stuff, and we learn and we grow. And but I think if you think you're going to get what you need somewhere else, that's total mirage. That's the 40%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I need to take a break. If you don't mind, we'll continue this when we come back. This is the amazing and beautiful Queens of the Roundtable. It is 46 minutes after the hour. If you still like to ask a question, 877-933-2484. We'll be back. Welcome back to the show. We've got the ladies in the studio. This is Roundtable Thursday. We're talking right now about how difficult marriage can be sometimes, and how we don't talk enough about doing the hard work and hanging in there. And Lee, you're awfully vulnerable to say that you do some counseling with your hubby. Just, you know, and why not? I mean, you take your car in at 30,000 miles because you love your car and you want it to work well.
And I thought I was being vulnerable by doing a math problem on air that I got wrong.
You did.
That was marvelous.
I was good at math until they started adding letters in to the equation. Find X. I go, no, that's not math anymore.
That is not math.
No.
That's English.
When they use the alphabet, it's gone beyond math.
But you're right. We love our cars and we take our cars in. You know, and we, Why not? Therapy is the best thing ever. I think everyone, if you can find a good therapist, and here's why. You take your coffee, you go in, and you just like tell them all your stuff, and then you walk out, and they can't tell anyone, and you just get it all out there.
Well, I think because my husband and I have done therapy, we're at 25 years on April 30th, and we've done therapy as well, and we've had dry patches in our marriage, and it's interesting to me that anybody has an expectation that one person is going to fill you 100%, and so coming to the table saying, you're not filling these needs for me, and not expecting them to, and then taking your own responsibility of that's between me and the Lord, or I think when you stop trying to change them. But really, for my husband and I, what we realized is that God taught us the definition of contend. We need to contend for each other more than our world lets us know and how to. And contending means we remind them of who they are in the Lord. We remind ourselves of what we got, why God brought us together in marriage. Right. And we fight for that. Mm-hmm. And so many people are thinking, well, you know, it's dead or it's too late. It's never too late. Mm-hmm.
Never too late.
Rosie, you said you went through a dry spell. What does that mean? Well, does that mean you're giving each other the cold shoulder? You're yelling at each other?
I think for couples it looks different. For my husband and I, it's not yelling at each other. It's more we're both fiercely independent. So when we are doing our independent things and basically just touching base, how is your day? And there's no emotion there.
Yeah.
And that goes on too long. That is not healthy for he and I.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to work on inviting each other into our independence.
Mm-hmm.
Other people have different, you know, they argue, they fight, they throw things. So we've always gotten along very well, and we have similar personality bents, and we laugh a lot. But it's that independence for us. And for a while, and I think my husband would agree and not mind so much about me talking about this, is that the Lord took me on a journey into himself quite radically. It was 8 years into marriage. And I started changing, and my husband didn't understand the new woman I was becoming, and that also put a wedge in. Yeah. So there's many spouses out there who love the Lord, and their other spouse is not walking with him, and that can be a very lonely place. And mm-hmm. I think that can cause a lot of contention in a marriage, and it's more, you know, for both parties. My husband was lonely. He didn't understand where I was going. So now that he's walking with the Lord, he was like, oh, I understand. I get this. And what a beautiful thing. It's, it just breathes life into all of our days, you know, just to be able to go to the Lord and talk about what we have on our plates.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been married for more than a year, so I can't really speak to this. I do know marriage is hard, but I have a very limited window to judge from. But I think the best advice I got in premarital counseling, so maybe I can just share that, is when you can't talk to one another, pray for one another. Mm-hmm. When you're so mad that you can't even speak to each other, you don't want to look at his face, whatever it is, pray for him. Pray for her. Because that which you pray for, you move toward.
Right.
It's impossible to just harbor bitterness and nastiness in your heart towards someone if you are actively praying for them and for their good. Because that reminds you that you're both on the same team. You're never supposed to be fighting and at each other's throats, because you're one another is not the enemy, ever. You're always on the same team, and you always want one another to do well, because then you and the whole family is going to succeed. And I mean, nobody wants a marriage to grow and strengthen more than God.
Mm-hmm,
so go to him, because he's the one that has the power to make it happen.
I love that. We say that too. We say team bloom all the time. And my husband and I talk a lot about are we in the same boat?
Mm.
Because we're both fiercely independent and both extroverts. So we would be so happy just going, doing.
And it is so fun at your house, I bet.
It is fun, but fun is not always, you know, in the same boat, because he wants to do this, I want to do that. And so we have to often sit and say, are we in the same boat right now? Because we are, but if you're canoeing two different ways, we're going nowhere. But marriage is not easy, but it is an opportunity to grow and change in a way that you've never grown and changed before, if you allow it.
Right.
But it's work. And love sometimes is a choice in marriage. Sometimes.
I have so many girlfriends that are in that position of wanting to contend and have spouses that are not in their boat mm-hmm. for the fight. And I think that's a very difficult spot to be in, where also counseling comes in.
Right.
Because you can, with a counselor, get through those if it's a good Christian counselor, mm-hmm. get you through those seasons of that angst or that loneliness as you pray into the Lord, as Rebecca was saying, as you bring the Lord as your bridegroom into your relationship and wait, you know, yeah. and contend on your knees, because the Lord will make change. Mm-hmm. He listens to every single prayer, every single one.
And that just made me think of something that we learned in therapy that we didn't even know we needed to learn. But this therapist asked the question, how did you see conflict resolved in growing up? And we both were like, we both had different answers. So if we both have different answers on how we've seen conflict resolved, then we're both going to resolve conflict differently. Mm-hmm. And that was a really insightful thing, right? Like, and then we got to decide together, how do we want to resolve conflict? How do we want to move forward and make this our family, you know, team, how we resolve conflict? But, you know, you can learn great things by iron sharpening an iron, and especially being married.
Because I have a lot of listeners that are in a very unhappy place, unfortunately, and I want to be addressing that as well. So when the relationship has ended and a person's heart has been ripped out of their chest and they see no hope, and how would you, as women, have you completely moved on from this relationship? Is it over? There's no going back. What would you tell a girlfriend that is just like, I am so done with him?
So I have a very unique situation where my parents were divorced for 4 or 5 years and remarried each other again. And I do have several girlfriends that have gone through divorce. And there's something very unique with a woman that I think she loves, and she loves deeply. And I don't know of any of those girlfriends, even when they have endured horrible behavior by their spouse, where there isn't that seed of love. And it doesn't feel like something that is broken, or that there's something wrong with them, or it's so very difficult to heal from, because they still have that seed of love. They married that spouse because they saw that beautiful man in him, and then something happened. And so I have one woman in particular right now who is rediscovering her love, her bridegroom Jesus, because her heart is so broken with what happened in her marriage, that she is going to the throne room and saying, you tell me then, who am I? Because I didn't want this. I didn't expect it. He's not, something's happened to him. He's behaving beyond what he typically would or is. And so she's had to take it to the cross, and all of us girlfriends would get around her and affirm her and who she is, that how somebody else reacts or acts is not a reflection necessarily of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful. I think I would just add for that person that you're mentioning, or those, you know, anyone who's struggling like that, what helps me is I go to scripture in terms of stories where you don't think it's going to turn out well,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you look at, you know, Jonah's in the whale. It's not going to turn out well. And it does, right? Shadrach, right. Meshach, Abednego. They're in the middle of the fire. It's not going to turn out well.
How's that going to go well?
How's that going to
go
well?
Yeah.
And it does. So I go to scripture and go to those stories because I love stories and analogies. And I go to those. And if those things can happen, right, then God can save a marriage. Mm-hmm. And just trusting from those stories of mm-hmm. scripture.
All right. That wraps up our beautiful and amazing Queens of the Roundtable. Roundtable Thursday has been a blast. I hope you have enjoyed it as much as I have. It is a great day of the week for me. And if you missed any of either hour, you can go to myfaithradio.com and check it out. And if you want to hear the discussion that we had, it's been great and lively. And I sure appreciate Rebecca and Rosie and Lee for being great guests today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
Well, I have you every day.
Go Twins.
Yeah, go Twins.
Go Twins.
Yeah, and they're currently leading 2-0 right now. Not that I checked, but I did. Thanks so much for listening. And as you are just finishing your day, enjoy your meal tonight and your family, and spend time with the Lord. And when you lay your head on the pillow tonight, just know that He is writing His story in your life. Okay? Trust that. I'll see you tomorrow. God bless. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.